This is Fritz Frivolous with continuous live coverage of the corner of Curious Lane and Just Because Boulevard, the epicenter of the alien invasion. And this just in, King Kong is fighting the Mobile Suit Gundam. And of course, all of this is happening amidst World War IV, making it pure pandemonium. If only Captain Planet were still alive to save us all. Dude, could you imagine?
You hear a knock at the door. You ask, "Who is it?" But no one replies. You hear your doorbell ring. Again, you ask who is there, and again, no one answers. You decide to look through your window to see who is at the door, and you notice it is two young children. Feeling safe about the situation, you decide to open the door. As you do, you see that the two children are staring at you, with a blank, expressionless face, pale skin, and all black eyes. You quickly shut the door, realizing you made a grave mistake. You look out of the window again, but this time, there's more children with black eyes, all staring at you. What would you do if you encountered the black-eyed children? Let us join our two brave babysitters, Will and Tom, as they try to school these children with an answer. Welcome back, everybody. This is Tom Case.
This is Will Stark.
Will, I'm happy, but at the same time, I'm a little sad, as all good things come to an end.
It's true.
This is going to be the last episode for our
Halloween Deadcast.
The finale.
The finale. Let's however, it's going to be a good one. And at the end, we will continue our the Halloween Fright Night Fight Night. We will continue that tonight. And even though this is the last episode for the Halloween Deadcast, we're going to have the finale start on the first tournament? Week of November. Yeah, okay, the tournament on the first week of November. So the first week of November, we'll have the last part of that tournament, and we will crown the winner then. So the first question I got for you tonight, Will, is what if you had an encounter with the black-eyed children? Are you familiar with the black-eyed children?
Yes, I am, and I know why you are, too.
Well, let's go over to some Fritz facts. Fritz facts.
Okay, yeah. You're going to have to tell the audience about the international phenomenon.
I don't know if it's international. Yeah. We'll get into it.
Okay.
So,
all
right. Basically, the black-eyed children, they are not the children of the black-eyed peas.
That would be weird.
I know, right?
That would be very strange.
Like, it's Fergie's son and Will.i.am's, daughter.
No.
Basically, it's an American contemporary legend of paranormal creatures that resemble children between the ages of, 6 and 16. Normally, they have, pale skin, black eyes. Obviously, they're called the black-eyed children.
And isn't it black eyes, pupilless,
yeah,
complete orbs of blackness.
Exactly. Okay. It's just like you're staring into
a void,
the void of darkness, and they're usually reported being seen hitchhiking or begging, or a lot of times people say that they encounter them actually on the doorsteps, at their front door.
They come knocking.
And they come knocking and they come begging.
Yeah, I've heard those stories.
Now a lot of people say,
"Sir, won't you just open the door for me?"
Yeah, I know. The scary thing is, so we'll get into the part right now where supposedly their powers are I don't know if you call it a psychic ability.
Right.
Where a lot of people say that the people who have encountered them or say that they have encountered these children, they just feel like they want to do what they tell them to do.
So, vampires.
They're being glamored or whatever you want to call absolutely. It. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that. That's what they report doing. They know in their heart they shouldn't do this or they shouldn't invite them in their home. But when these black-eyed children ask to come in, they feel
they
compelled.
They can't say no.
Yeah. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, sure. Come on in and ruin my life,
Okay.
Now, a lot of people try to say that they've heard these stories way back in the past, even before the 80s. Mm-hmm. But the actual first legend that originated was in postings written by a Texas reporter, Brian Bethel, in 1996.
Oh, okay. That's pretty
so,
recent.
Yeah, he was a reporter. 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was a reporter in Abilene, Texas. And basically,
he just kind of told the story of his encounter, what he says happened to him.
Okay.
And I guess there's been other encounters claimed in Portland, Oregon. So Texas and Oregon, you know, that's you know, pretty far stretch there.
Yeah, they're
from
not
one point of
very close. Yeah. What, at least 1,500 miles away from each other?
Yeah, exactly. And then other people, you know, I mean, who knows? This could just be people making stuff up, mm-hmm. or this could be.
I mean, it's people making stuff up, Tom. But
yeah, I know it. Yeah, in my opinion, and they even say like they use the term which you had taught me, creepy pasta.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of creepy pastas about them, huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's what they say. A lot of these stories have become regarded as classic examples of creepypasta.
Oh yeah, for sure. I can see that. Are you going to go through what their capabilities are?
So their capabilities are well, basically that's it. They kind of have like, I don't want to know if you want to call it teleportation, because a lot of the accounts say that, like, you know, they seen them in front of their house, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they get scared, and when they ran to the back of the house, that they were already there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I guess that's teleportation.
Yeah.
The other thing would be, I guess, mind control in a certain way, because of like,
they definitely have advantage on their charisma checks.
Or yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay, real quick, do the stories clarify like what happens to people? Like, do they eat people? Do they?
So I haven't really read across anything that. Obviously, if the person is dead,
because in all they wouldn't the stories, be able to tell, yeah, people get away.
Get away, okay. Exactly. Okay. All the stories seem to end pretty much the same, where they ran away, and then, like, you know, neighbors or somebody else heard the goings on of that, but mm-hmm. like didn't see anything. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Well, like, what would they hear? It. Like, what do these
they would hear
do?
Like the children like screaming, or like yelling at you. You
when
know,
do
like.
Do they yell at that?
Yeah, they'll yell at you and stuff if like
if you don't
you're
do
not
what
doing
say.
What they say. Yeah. It's not like, yeah, that's why I hesitated to say mind control, because okay. it's not like you couldn't resist them.
Well, I mean,
like a lot of these people do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
for obvious absolutely. Reasons.
Okay.
There's a lot of what do you call it? Like, there's a lot of theories on what they actually are. Because
okay, I want
to
hear it.
You talk to demonologists, right?
It's demons.
Yeah, obviously. They think it's demons. They think it's they are the
Do you
literal
see this fake degree on my wall?
yeah, exactly. From the University of Demonology. Come on. You know? Go demons. You know, like that was their team, right? But
if you talk to alienologists.
Yeah, alienologists.
Yeah. I guess it's aliens.
Well, that's exactly what it is. So like demonologists thinks that they are the literal children of the devil. Like okay. those are literally his children, right?
Okay.
Alien enthusiasts, is that what you want to call
sure.
them? You know, they believe that they're an alien race that has inhabited these children's bodies,
okay.
or that they're making you see a familiar, what they think is familiar to you, which I guess would be children. I don't know
sure.
why.
I mean, honestly, that sounds, it's the exact same thing, just you're slapping different names on it there.
Yeah, exactly. And then people who are into the paranormal believe that they're ghosts, you know what
okay.
I mean? The ghosts of these children to come back.
Oh, yeah. What team are you on, Tom?
I think that they're a part of the fictional creepypasta. You know what I mean? Where, yeah. like, yeah. I think that maybe, you know, maybe some kids found a way to really scare some adults,
God,
you know?
God, man, that's like, some fucked up pranking right there.
I'll be honest, like, it is fucked up, but at the same time, I would kind of give kudos to them right. if these children figured a way, like
dangerous,
this,
though, because you yeah. do that to the wrong person, you might get, you know, shot.
Yeah, yeah. you might get a wooden stake through the heart or
that,
something,
yeah.
you know?
Okay, so you've told me all about the black-eyed children. What has happened?
So here's the parameters. Here's the yeah. story. This okay. is then this is going to be a walkthrough because this is a scenario, and I want to see how you're going to.
All right, I'm terrified. This is easily the most terrifying because like it's not like the ghost thing where I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just like tell me your story.
Yeah,
or like the vampire thing where it's like, well, you turned me into a weapon, and now I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
No, this is straight like there's nothing you can do. These evil, possibly alien, possibly demon children.
Possibly vampires. Maybe
yeah.
they're vampires too.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so your fiance has wanted you to go get a pumpkin because she wants a very special Halloween.
Okay.
So you're doing last minute Halloween
so special.
Shopping.
We're getting a pumpkin this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, you're getting a pumpkin. You're going to carve it up and light a candle inside.
Okay. We're going to have ourselves a candle tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We're going to light ourselves a candle tonight. So when that happens, You come out of the store.
Okay.
Right? And
oh, this is public.
No, this is in public. This is in public, yeah. So okay. you walk out of the store. However, mind you, there's not a lot of people there. So there's nothing. There's not going to be, you know, a lot of people with eyes on you. They're not going to be watching you. They're not,
okay,
they're
sure,
not
going to care. Sure.
But
they're not going
to
care.
Yeah. But a child comes up to you. You think it's one of those children selling like candy, sure, for their school, whatever, it's a fundraiser.
It's one of those Thin Mint cookie girls.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Girl,
right?
Scouts.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Girl Scout from hell. But when she comes up to you, you notice that her eyes are completely black, right?
All
right. And it's just her. It's she just comes her. Up to you and she says,
is she dressed in a Girl Scout uniform?
No, but okay. She is dressed in like a, I want to say it's like an old timey dress, like she's Little House on the Prairie.
30s? Like she's from the 1880s?
Early 1900s.
Okay.
Yeah. It's kind of like that, right?
Okay, sure.
And
at this point, I'm like, really? Like, yeah. This is happening, really?
Hey, they're on a budget, okay? Uh-huh. They can't afford, you know, the high fashion.
All right, so.
So she comes up to you and she says, please, sir, I'm all alone. Take me with you.
No, no. I literally just with my no, walking by her, no.
Okay, so you walk by her, right? Uh-huh. When you get to your car, all of a sudden you go to get your keys to unlock it, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, she's already in front of your car now.
Oh, like so, like I walk past
you,
her,
walk past her,
and then I turn and she's in
and
front
she's
of me.
And she's in front of you once, yeah, you get the car. You didn't see her run. You didn't see her go ahead of you. She's, mm-hmm, just there. Mm-hmm. And again, she says, she just blank stare at from her black eyes to your eyes.
I'm pulling out my phone. I'm recording.
Oh, okay. You're recording?
Yeah. Pulling out my phone, recording.
Ooh, what would you do if you did that? And when you're looking through on your phone, you don't see.
Oh, there's nothing there?
Yeah.
That'd be wild.
That would be weird. I just thought that's a good one because I just thought that right now in my head. Man, that would freak me out if I did that.
That would freak me out as well.
So let's say that happens.
Okay. So I pull out the phone. I hit record. Oh, that's interesting because I can't see her on the phone, but I'm wondering,
not on
does
the
it
phone.
Pick up her audio when she's talking?
You know what? You know what's even creepier? Like, uh-huh, let's say it does, but like it's very disembodied. Like you could barely hear it. You would need to have your AirPods or earphones, whatever you use, mm-hmm, and volume all the way up, and you would need to like really focus to hear, but you can't.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to keep my phone out. And I'm going to, like, back up, and I'm going to put my pumpkin in the trunk. Mm-hmm. It's to kind of, like, avoid, like, she's obviously in the way of me getting in my own car.
Okay.
So I'm just going to try and, like, well, you don't win this standoff, because guess what? I was going to my trunk anyway. So I open the trunk, I put the pumpkin in, and I close the trunk, and is she still standing in the same place?
Yeah, she's in the same place.
She moves closer
to me? No. She's still standing in the same place right in front of your car. Mm-hmm. And just giving, like I said,
I'm
like
getting in the passenger
stare.
Front door now. I'm getting in from the other side to crawl over into my driver's seat so I can get and start my car.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because
okay. It's like, okay, you're going to stand in the way. I'll just go this way.
Yeah. Well, she's in front of the car. I mean, you wouldn't have to like go. I mean, you could
I thought
still
you said
go
she was standing in front of my door.
No, in front of the car.
Oh,
in front
okay.
of the car. Yeah,
yeah.
Like she didn't want you to leave. Like, you know, like she didn't want you to drive
this
away.
Is, okay. Yeah. No. Okay. Let's rewind then.
Okay.
She's standing in front of the
in
car.
In front
like,
of the car.
Where the car would move.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
okay.
Where you would be driving away from.
No problem.
Once you got in. Yeah.
Pumpkin in the back. I'm going to hop in. I'll put it in reverse. We're backing out of here.
Okay. Okay. Now you do that, right?
Okay.
You back up. You drive away. And as you're driving away, I imagine you'd probably keep an eye on her, mm-hmm, right?
Sure.
Because, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And she's there the whole time. No different, no facial expression, nothing.
Okay.
Just stares at you. Her head slowly turns as your car drive offs in the distance, right?
I'd be so angry.
Yeah.
That this is happening to me.
Now you're... I just see you getting road rage. Like, you're just like...
How dare they target me?
Like, damn loiterers. Like, I'm going to call the management at this
well,
Trader
no.
Joe's.
Like, okay. Well, here's the thing, though. Like, you said the black eye thing is obvious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've heard of what that is. It's not like I don't know the stories. I would just be pissed that this urban legend is occurring to me right now.
Oh, yeah. Like it's so, what's the...
Inconvenient. And
yeah.
Goddamn terrifying. But, okay. What happens next?
So, you drive off, and you're about three quarters of the way home.
Okay.
Right? And on that stretch of road right before you reach your place, mm-hmm. right, you have to make a sudden stop at the stop sign.
Okay.
Because now crossing the road are two children, right?
Oh, they're multiplying. Oh, God.
The same one that was in front of your car yeah. and an older boy.
Okay.
And they both have
black
the
eyes.
Black yeah. eyes, yeah, right?
Black and jewels.
And they're standing right in front of your car again. And this time the boy says,
oh, like I'm at like a stoplight?
Yeah, a stop sign.
A stop sign.
You're at a stop sign.
And they're like directly in front of my car?
They're directly in front of your car. Like they just happen to walk out and you don't know from where. You just all of a sudden, oh, okay, man, yeah, they're there. And you stop short.
And they're yelling at me?
Not yelling at, that's the thing. They're not yelling, but you can hear them very clearly in your head.
Okay.
And this time the boy speaks and he's not as you know, he's not asking. He says to you, take me to your home.
I'm just going to slowly move forward and just slowly push them out of the way.
Really?
Yes. Are you kidding? I would do that if it was real children. I would slowly just nudge them the fuck out of the way. And the second they were clear, I'd speed off.
You just let off the brake so that your car idles forward.
Exactly. That's what I would do. Because what are they going to do? Stand in the way? Well, then that's our fault.
And that would suck. And then it's like
news at 11. Crazy driver.
No, bullshit. I would film the whole thing happening.
Yeah. Well, you would look like, you know what would be funny is you would look like you're just
no,
going
I would be
forward because no one would be there.
Yeah, I'm going really slow and they're just refusing to move. I'm like, if you guys don't move, it's going to mow you down. Don't threaten me in my car, blah, blah, blah.
No.
Don't tell me to take you to my home, blah, 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 blah.
But on your video, since you can't see them on your phone video.
Oh, it would look like it's
gonna,
crazy.
Yeah, it's going to look like they're crazy.
That's,
yeah.
But that's my point. That's my defense.
Oh, yeah, that would be, because then you they would look
then
at
then they would be like, well, he ran over these kids. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the video, there's no kids. Yeah. But he's talking to somebody. So what does this mean?
Because if that were to happen, it would all have to have been eyewitness account.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but that doesn't happen. That was just a joke. But okay,
yes, I slowly nudge them out of my way.
Okay, so you slowly nudge them out of your way.
I don't know. At this point, I'm like, I don't know if I want to go home. Because like he literally said, take me to your home.
Yeah.
Like some sort of fucking alien.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So are you going home? Right now, your fiance calls you. She says,
oh, I'm telling her everything.
Where are you?
I'm telling her everything.
She's like, the kids
number
are...
Number one, she would never talk to me.
I know.
She's the nicest person you've ever met in your life. Yeah.
For story purposes, I have to, you know...
Literally, I would just tell, babe, this crazy thing happened. Like, I got these kids, and they're blah, blah, blah. She would just believe me, because she knows
I was going to say, in all honesty,
she would believe me just because she knows that I would never say that. Number one, I don't prank people. I don't make...
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't joke like that.
Yeah, I don't see you doing that.
No, it's just not something I do. And number two is, if I was telling her this in earnest... Like, she believes in my soundness of mind enough to be like, at least take me seriously.
Yeah.
She might try and like, she'll be like, oh, well, you think it was just like some crazy teenagers or blah, blah, blah. And I would have to just, no. I'd be, babe, this is supernatural fucking bullshit happening right now in front of our cars. So,
no, babe, it's supernatural fucking shit.
Yeah, it's supernatural fucking bullshit. It's happening to me right now. So I don't want to come home. I don't want to come home and bring it home to you guys. So I guess I'm going to the gas station and I'm going to get some snacks.
Okay, so you go to the gas station, you get snacks. No problem, right? Now, when you get back in your car and you start your car, you adjust your rearview mirror, boom. Now three of these children are sitting in the back seat of your car.
Okay, hold up. I want to pause you there because everything I know about the Black Eyed Children is they cannot enter places unless you actually let them in. I was waiting for you to pull this on me so I could pull that back on you.
Okay, I did not know that. So, okay, we'll back up. Now three of them are surrounding your car.
The nudge maneuver works real well.
That same young girl, the first one you encountered, the older boy, and then a same aged, the older boy, let's say, the first girl, she looks to be around 8, 9, right? Yeah. The boy looks like he's 12, 13, and there's now another girl, and she looks like 12 or 13 too, right? Now they're all in unison, just around your car, and they're just looking at you, and they're chanting,
take me to your home.
Take me to your home.
I'm at the gas station?
You're at the gas station.
Okay, what season is it?
It's in October. It's autumn.
Okay. Damn it. I was going to say summer.
Oh, why?
Because I was going to try and find a scenario in which I could buy a Super Soaker.
Oh,
so you can I'm just gonna make a joke out of them. Like, you want to talk? Just talk. If all they're doing is talking at me, I'm just gonna start spraying them with random liquids. Like, I don't care. And it's harmless. Like, no one's, you know, and everyone's just gonna be like, this crazy dude with a super soaker. Yeah. Like,
oh my god, what is he doing to those children? Like, that's what you're gonna, you know.
But obviously, I don't have that luxury. No. That's when I park, right? Well, now I'm just gonna pull away.
No, oh yeah, I see what you're saying. Okay, so you're gonna pull like almost kind of what you did at the stop sign, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now I'm trying to think. Okay, so I'm driving in my car and I'm trying to think of a solution. Like, where do I go? I can't go to the police because obviously these children are invisible. I'm not going home because they're obviously following me.
Well, go ahead. Here's the thing. This is the one thing I wanted to. This is why I asked you if you were gonna go home or not. And now I made a reason why you may have to go.
Oh, why?
So your fiance calls you back, uh-huh. and she says, you know.
Babe, hey, I just want to know how long you're going to be. You know, I brought some guests over.
Right? And you're probably going to ask, who did you bring over?
Tom,
and she's going
to
say,
you have to make this believable,
well,
Tom.
She's going to say, well, I thought they were friends of your stepdaughter, right? Because they seemed around the same age.
No. Would she not? I know you don't know her. You're talking about like the most paranoid, careful person you've ever met in your life.
What if these children asked her, like...
There's nothing... Literally, she would... Heads would roll before she'd let them in the house.
Ask her for food, though.
No.
Like, to let them, like, have
stuff. No.
She would say no?
Yes, she would say no, Tom.
I don't know her. I'm just trying to use her as a character in my story, Will.
There's no way she lets anyone in the house, ever, at any point. There's no way she'd even answer the door, actually.
What if your stepdaughter did?
She knows not to answer the door. Like, she literally, the doorbell rings, she runs to the other room. They're odd about it. I don't know what their deal is. I answer the door. Anyways.
What if your stepdaughter was playing outside and those your fiance had noticed that these weird looking children, the one she
I think
says,
she would okay, call, so she would call Scarlett to come back inside and she would tell those kids that they can't come in after her.
And then the kids tell, like, no, Scarlett, stay here and play with us. And Scarlett's young, you know, she may not have that, the mental fortitude, you know what I mean? Like, to resist their, and so she says no to.
That would be shocking if she told her mom no. I think Michelle would just go get her.
Oh, she's not
she would just go get her.
And then 10 children come out with black eyes and surround Scarlett.
Well, okay, I'm not there. I can't tell you what happens at this point because I'm not there.
I just wanted some way to make you go back home.
Well, I think at this point I'm considering trying to find a church, even though I'm not sure they're the ones who can help me. Because I'm like, where else do I go?
The problem is...
I'm almost just about to go home because I give up. I give up on trying to think of other places to go.
The problem would be is because, yeah, you're right, we don't know what they are really.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like... Maybe if they're like demons or maybe if they're ghosts, a church might help you, right? Might be able to do something.
Right.
But if they're aliens or if they're, you know, whatever, like.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. Like, with the way they're acting, they're not aliens. Like, if they're not like some advanced civilization, why would some advanced civilization want to get in my house?
I don't know.
And like need me to take them there.
They're
It's obviously some supernatural bullshit.
We are here to assimilate you.
No, I'm good. I think eventually I would end up. It would take me a while and I'd drive around the freeways a bit. I'd probably be on the phone with my family. And then I'd be like, all right, you know what? I just got to go home. Like,
I'm surprised you haven't killed one yet.
Well,
like after a while, like
only
if you notice
for
the
because I this is where the I'm risking the setup here of being set up, you know what I mean, by whatever's going on here. You know, I take off ahead. Next thing you know, I'm in prison. So,
yeah, I know, right?
That's why I'm like they're not endangering me yet. They just are really annoying. Mm-hmm. So. I'm trying to be annoying back. That's why I was looking for. Because I thought about like what. I thought about what if I buy one of those big gulps, you know, the big
And
just splashing them when they come. Like, but like, you know, I know what's probably going to happen is they're going to disappear and then I just throw soda on the floor and then like the janitor is like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. I just had to make sure that they were real.
I can see his disappointed look looking at you like, oh, man. Like, what the fuck? Get out of here.
I'm just going, the black eyed children.
Yeah, I know. He's like, get out of here, you crack addict. Like, he thinks you're on meth or something, dude.
So,
no, I see what you're saying. No, so far, everything you've done is pretty logical. Like, I would feel like that would be the yeah. things to do. Because right. if you went home right away, you are exposing your family to
right, exactly. I mean? Like, instead, I'm living with this big annoyance.
Now, for the fact that they're already outside and they're playing with Scarlet would make me think that they were already targeting your family because
well, yeah,
they were because they came.
Are we going with that? Is that a thing that's happening?
Because
I was heading home anyway.
Yeah, let's say okay, let's do that. So if that happens, what would you do next if you went and you
if
you
I come home?
Yeah, but let's say your fiance didn't call you, right?
Yeah, let's say I come home and I see Scarlett playing.
Yeah, and you saw Scarlett playing with like 10 of them.
That's
like, you know,
easy.
I mean?
I'm parking. I'm getting out of my car. I'm charging Scarlett like a football player, picking her up while we're running to the house.
As these children are getting like knocked out of the way.
Yeah, seriously. They all get out of my way.
Yeah, I guess it's like, you know, if you have that capability of like, you know, not letting them control your mind or whatever it is that they do.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like after that, it's like, what can they really do to you?
Exactly.
You know, if you're not letting them or inviting them in,
yeah.
which kind of makes me think that's probably why some people think they're vampires. Cause you know, some people think vampires, you have to give them permission to enter your home.
Right. Exactly. And like these, they exhibit two things. Number one, they can't seem to come in unless you invite them in. And number two, they seem to do some sort of like mild mind control.
Mm-hmm. And then, and this is stuff we made up though, right here. Was
they also tend to be pale.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
And then the part about like you couldn't see them on like your camera.
We made that up. So for me, I would just get inside my house and close, lock everything, and just sit tight. And you know, most stories that I hear about when it comes to these guys, it's just about like they eventually go away. They give up when they know it won't work.
Yeah,
which so, it won't work.
Yeah, so. I feel like you succeeded, Will. Your family and you are not gonna fall to these black eyed children.
What's great though is at home what I do have are water bottles that I can spray the fuck out of them. Like, get off my lawn.
I know. I could just see you now, like you just treat them as like pests.
Yeah.
Like they're always
get out
there,
of here.
But you're not afraid of them. You're just like get with the broom. Get off my porch.
The black eyed children are back. Get
me my black eyed children broom. You know, and you're brushing them
it's
off
so
like
horrible.
Get out of here.
Yeah, they would very much annoy me. Worse than being a vampire, worse than a haunting. These guys suck.
But dude, could you imagine?
This just in, a new study suggests leaving an Apple Podcast review is very important for a newly created podcast. So please don't forget to leave an Apple Podcast review. In financial news, Patreon supporters are among the most appreciated in the podcast industry. You can support the DCYI team by heading over to patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine. This has been Fritz Frivolous, reminding you to like, comment, and subscribe. Will and Tom, back to you.
The undead, the living dead, the walking dead. All are different terms for the same rotting monster with an insatiable appetite for human flesh. Zombies. Some may be quick, while others are slow from missing body parts. Some may be strong, while others are weak due to a decaying body. You might be able to handle yourself with one or two, but when facing a horde, they can be a serious and deadly threat. A good blow to the head or fire are the most effective tactics to use against these snarling corpses. If you were faced with surviving a zombie apocalypse, what strategies would you use? How would you keep you, your family, and friends safe? Let us listen in on two of the underworld's most undead creatures, Will and Tom, as they try to eat your brain to taste an answer.
And we're back.
Indeed.
Will, this question is inspired by my wife because she loves the subject matter. And the question is, what if you had to survive a zombie apocalypse?
I was waiting for the zombie one. I knew it was going to come this month.
Yeah, I actually waited to the very end on this one because I feel like zombies, you know, I know we discussed a lot of the other classic monsters and stuff too, but zombies are always like, I don't know, I just feel like they're always there, you know, for horror stuff. They're always like in the background of things, you know what I mean? Like,
what do you mean?
Zombies to me, how would I describe this? Like, in the scheme of grand horror, right? Mm-hmm. Zombies are to me, is like the first thing that happened. It's like the evil's army, You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, okay, yeah, they're the cannon fodder.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe one, two, maybe even three for skilled, you know, aren't going to really do much to you. But,
right.
You know, when
that's not what the zombie, that's not, no. like, that's not the actual horror of the zombie. Like, with a vampire mm-hmm. or a ghost, like, there's a singular entity. With the zombie, you're fighting or facing off with, like, something you can't see, something that's spreading.
Yeah,
something
that's exactly.
everywhere, something that surrounds you, you know what I mean?
And no. and it's the horde. It's not always it's just horde. One. Yeah, yeah, exactly. One, you know, it's they're very powerful if you have a large group of them, right. You know.
Okay, well, parameters.
Well, let's go to the Fritz Facts.
Okay, let's do that first. Fritz Facts.
This isn't really a fact, but I do want to bring this up. There's a book called The Zombie Survival Guide by Max Brooks, who is the son of writer, director Mel Brooks. Probably you might recognize Mel Brooks from, like, The Life of Brian. Robin Hood Men in Tights. Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is a big one.
Yeah. There's
for Young Frankenstein's my favorite.
Oh yeah, yeah, did. That's true.
He's done a lot.
Yeah, I love it. Especially Spaceballs.
Blazing Saddles. That's probably the Blazing
Saddles.
One.
Yeah, a lot of people love that one. But anyways, his son Max Brooks wrote this book called The Zombie Survival Guide. I love it. It goes on as, like, you know, zombies are real. It never lets up. It goes into full detail on what to look for in your area if there is a zombie outbreak, what key things to look for in the news, what key things to look for in your environment, what types of zombies there are, you know, because there's technically different ones. You know, we'll get that in the Fritz Facts. But my favorite quote from this book is, remember, you never have to reload a machete.
Oh,
and
I
always thought that was cool.
Yeah, but you do have to resharpen one.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. So, Fritz Facts. Zombie is a mythological, undead, corporeal revenant created through the reanimation of a corpse. Mm. Zombies are most commonly found in horror and fantasy genre works, and the term comes from Haitian folklore, in which a zombie is a dead body reanimated through various methods, most commonly like magic or voodoo. But in modern times, a lot of that has changed because it's like, you know, it's like a virus or
other means. That's the modern way of talking.
Biological,
like,
right.
How does it spread in enough to, like, affect an entire city or an entire country?
Mm-hmm. And other ones, too, which I thought was really, really interesting, is, like, through the use of, like, parasites, which in real life – or bacteria, right? And in real life –
fungus.
Yeah, fungus actually works that way. You know, we talked about this before, but
yeah, the cordyceps fungus it zombifies bugs to do their bidding.
Yeah, what was it? An ant in the rainforest? There's like an ant.
Yeah, that's the most famous one. There's a cordyceps fungus that does that specifically to ants and, like, makes them march their way up these trees and implant themselves in the trees to grow more fungus, so it spread more spores. But there's some, like, hundreds of different cordyceps fungi that affect different insects throughout the rainforest.
Yeah, and it's creepy. I mean, it's more creepy because it's real life. Like, it is fact. You know what I mean? We're not talking about something fake here. You know?
Right, right.
So,
absolutely.
A lot of scientists, too, have discovered that there are other ways that they feel like is possible to reanimate, like, dead tissue. But I think we're still far off from creating an actual zombie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we have to worry about any of that.
Are we actively trying to create a zombie? That doesn't sound like what we're trying to do.
Well, you know, Primerica, which is also known as the Umbrella Corporation, they probably are, Will.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so what are the parameters?
So the parameters are, you are, you're just chilling at home.
Okay. Right?
And you start noticing the precursors of a zombie apocalypse on the news. You start seeing reports of, like, you know, just odd, nightmarish things that people are doing to each other. You know, it first involved a lot of homeless, right? Mm. And as you know, in our undisclosed location, we've had a problem with homeless in certain cities that the cities are trying to basically kick them out. Mm. You know what I mean? They're basically trying to, quote unquote, clean up the streets by just moving them out, you know?
Right.
But I feel like, you know, because they don't have any type of medical, healthcare, anything, like, that's probably where it would spread the most. So that's what you're seeing on the news, is that there's mass panics now in these cities nearby you.
Okay.
Of people rioting, and you hear them, like, talks about rioting, biting, dismembering, things like that around. And this is where it starts off.
Okay. And in this world, which is our world, like obviously like the idea of a zombie apocalypse is a thing, right?
Yeah. 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 Okay. In the news, they've already
are they quarantining places off?
Yeah, they're trying to.
Oh, so it's off. It's not even like we're pretending this isn't zombies. Like, no, this is zombies.
Yes, yes. From the get-go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, and cool. And the news reports,
that makes it so much easier.
Even relate that. Like, yeah. They even say that. Yeah. Like, they're like, you know.
It's zombies, guys.
Yeah, I mean, they're not trying to incite panic, but yes, they are basically saying that. Like, oh my God, it's pandemonium out there. Zombies are everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, well, it's going to be a similar plan to... what was it? The Carmageddon episode we talked about the apocalypse, the nuclear holocaust.
Oh, okay.
In that one. In this one, the plan's actually going to be similar. Wanting to get a generator if I can get my hands on one specifically. Again, I should have researched after we did the episode. Are solar power generators actually a thing?
Solar power generators? They have those. Yeah, they're a thing.
I'm going to try and get my hands on one of those.
Some of them can be quite. It's cumbersome though, like it's, you know, they're rather big.
How big is rather big?
You know, they're kind of like off of a motor, like they're probably, how do I describe it, probably like a large barbecue like size, if that okay. makes a if you could picture that in your head,
right? So I could probably fit in the back of my SUV.
Of your SUV? Yeah.
Yes. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I have one of those.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
we'll put it in the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the generator is important to me simply because, like, wherever we end up, like, having power is paramount. But the next thing I'm going to do is, again, what I said in the Armageddon episode, where I'm going to go online and download any and all compendiums and information about survival, basic agriculture, basic building batteries, basic engineering, basic survival, basic everything. That way, like, I may not know it now, but later on, if I need to learn something, like, at least I have some reading materials to get me started.
Which is, yeah, that's smart to do.
Get it on a flash drive, bring my laptop. When it comes to weaponry, though, in this case, because I think in that one we talked about, I'm just not even bothering with the guns. We just need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, and I think
the bombs are happening now, and we need to get out now, and... If I got to worry about people later, like we'll figure it out. And I think in that scenario, I kind of did.
Yeah. And then plus two, you know, I always felt like people who's like, oh, I'm going to go get the guns. I don't think that's the easiest weapon to get. You're not, because the people wherever you're going to be able to find the guns, they're going to be where people already know that they're
there. Everyone's going to be
they're the ones
guns.
That are going to get it first.
So I'm still not going for guns. I wasn't then. I'm still not now. And another thing is, like, I'm not trained in gun operation. Like, too. I don't. You know, I won't know what to do if it jams. I won't, you know, I'm just not trained in that. I'm not going down that avenue. Plus, I don't think it's the best weapons against zombies anyways. I like the idea you said with the machete, but again, for me, machetes get dull.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And they take a lot of effort to slice through things. So for
and
me,
they could get stuck once you did slice.
Yeah, exactly. Get jammed in a bone, then what do you do? So I've always thought to myself, the best weapons to have on hand, baseball bats. Specifically, probably metal aluminum ones, aluminum. Because the wooden ones break. The aluminum ones will break too; they'll bend eventually. But they're also light; they don't weigh that much.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
I could probably go to a Walmart and buy like 20 of those suckers, easy. Mm-hmm. Get them in a shopping cart,
and even carrying 2 to 3 on yourself isn't
exactly.
That
I can have 3 on my back, 2 on my side, you know, and then I can arm my whole family with them. If obviously they're, you know, if we get overwhelmed, we get overwhelmed.
But even if you had guns, I don't think that's
exactly.
Gonna,
But then, speaking of getting overwhelmed, for defensive wear, what I would go for is I live by a couple places where for recreational like vehicle stuff, like ATVs and all that other stuff. Okay. I always thought to myself back in my motorcycle riding days, like the heavy duty motorcycle gear that you can get is the best zombie apocalypse gear you possibly get. The helmet, you know, it full coverage, plus you get the visor so you can still see out. It covers a good portion of your neck. You can get the big bulky jackets that are full, like you got the full shoulder pad, full elbow pad, wrist pads. It's got body armor here, and it's made out of like a tough cloth on top of that. And you can get it where the collar pops up, so you can get full from head to waist protection.
And you can move around in
and
that.
And you can move around. You know, you got your baseball bats. For pants, I'm not sure what I would do. And I don't know.
They don't make that?
I'm worried about mobility.
Why are those? I don't know what that type of those
I don't know.
Pants that they.
I don't know.
Oh,
I just
you
don't
never
know.
Had one?
No, I never bothered with that.
Stuff. Oh,
so I mean, boots would be great, and I own some boots. You know, knee pads would be cool. I guess I'm not. Again, I'm more worried about everything else where that I can cover. Yeah. So I'm definitely getting gear for me and my family there. And then once that's all loaded up, I guess the next thing is a water source, and I'm thinking we live near the mountain ranges that have quite a few lakes up north, at least 3 or 4 are up there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try and get up there. I'm going to try and get up to the mountain lakes,
which is good too, because elevation.
Yeah, that's the thing with the zombies, like it's going to be hard for them to climb mm-hmm. that way. Plus, it's a less populated; they won't be drawn up there exactly.
Yeah. Also, I think I forgot to mention this too. These zombies, they're not like. I know a lot of certain games and certain other movies and stuff. They put a little twist on zombies where they're like, oh, these zombies are super fast, or these zombies jump 30 feet, in the air, or whatever. Right. No, these are, they have the same mobility skills as an average human.
Okay.
Right. So,
well, and if they're zombies, they are undead, right?
Yes.
So that, to me, that means they're going to rot down eventually.
Yeah.
And the elements will not be kind to them.
No.
Pretty much anywhere in the world, whether it's cold, hot, humid or not, bugs and animals will come for them. Like, yeah, it's for me, it's a waiting game. So for me, it's like, get up to the lakes. I know where they are. There's water. Maybe it's not the cleanest. Maybe we make sure we bring a Brita. Well, you know what? There's stores up there that we can raid. I don't know. Yes.
Or boil the water at the very
least.
Yeah.
You know, we have the SUV. We have camping gear. Let's get up there. We got the generator now, hopefully. We're armed and protected. There's going to be other people who think the same thing who make it up there.
Yeah.
We can band together and figure this out. And then, someone's going to have a radio. Obviously.
Yeah, especially
when
if
TV
they're already.
And stuff go down, if everything really does go down, the radios will still be there and other people out in the world will have them. So there'll be some form of communication.
Yeah. And people who already live up there, someone somewhere up there will have one.
Yeah. And then I'm thinking, as long as this stuff isn't airborne, if it's literally bite to bite.
Yeah. I mean, that would be something you would have to figure out.
There's just
I mean?
Nothing you do. If it's airborne and it turns people into zombies, when
you're already infected.
Then everyone's fucked.
Yeah. The only way to even know is once you die, would come back.
Well, normally when a zombie bites you, you turn.
Oh, right away.
That's
right
what I'm
then.
Saying.
Oh,
if people
yeah.
are
it
breathing
slowly
it in,
kills
it,
you, the bite.
Yeah. If people are breathing it in and turning, well, then we're all fucked. And there's nothing anyone can
no,
do.
No, no, no. I see what you mean. No. Yeah. The way I was, that wouldn't. No, I would
that's
see
not
it
the
like
scenario.
Where maybe if you got bit by a zombie, it's probably because of whatever this parasite or bacteria or whatever it is infects you, and then that slowly kills you, and then and then you get reanimated because of that.
Okay, right. Well, that's interesting. That brings me to another question, and I think I know what your answer is. It's probably the same as mine. If let's say you're in a zombie apocalypse and you're fighting. And you fight your way out of a thing, but a zombie nips you and gets your hand or your wrist.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Man, I feel like...
I know exactly what I do.
Cut it off?
Yeah, immediately. Yeah. Cut this thing off. We got to go.
And cauterize
it. I don't got
it.
Time for this. Yeah.
It's gonna be agony. I think you'd have to do it quick, though, because who knows,
Yeah, exactly. But, so for me, it's just a matter of, the military will probably get a handle on this at some point.
I think they would be the most protected.
Yeah, especially the really remote military bases. Yeah. They're super protected. Mm-hmm. This is just a waiting game. Honestly, most of these bodies, once they're dead, they're zombies, and they start rotting, they're done for in a few couple months, tops.
Yeah.
Tops,
even if you
right?
get a horde roaming into your mountain town up there, I mean, using the strategies, and this is in that book I mentioned too, using strategies like the bottleneck strategy where you're basically funneling them to go almost in single file where they can't surround you.
Yeah. You know what the best thing you could do to a zombie horde is, as like a let's say you have a bunker or a civilization that's defended well enough, you're surviving, but you're surrounded by zombies. You know the best thing you do? Start breeding flies. Breed them by the tens of thousands.
Breeding
flies?
Breed
flies, yes. If you can, do it. And once you have just... cages and cages full, fucking release them on the hordes, because they will lay so many damn maggot eggs in those corpses. Once they hatch, maggots, they're just going to eat the flesh. They'll eat the zombies from the inside.
Oh, I never thought about that.
A fast life cycle.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a gross way to
fix your problem. Oh, yes. It's absolutely disgusting.
But oh, my God.
That's the thing is, like, if these zombies are literally just bodies walking around, then, like, they rely on the mechanics of the human body. And once ligaments and tendons go, like, they're done for.
Yeah.
Like, they will collapse and they can't move.
I can see everybody in your this new, you know, town you formed up there. They probably would look at you and think you're crazy, that you don't know what you're doing and this and that. Because, right, because think of all the traditional ways people are going to say that we need to take care of these zombies. It's going to be fire. It's going to be bash them in the head or shoot them in the head.
Right.
Things like that, right?
That's what you do when you're, like, actively defending.
There, right there, yeah.
Like, when you're fighting and drawing a line in the sand. Mm-hmm. But once the line is drawn and you're defended and, like, the main thing is that you're trapped and you can't really get it out. Let's say, like, you're trapped and you got enough to survive for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. You better start breeding flies. See, I think people would look at it and then once you're finally, like, they would just think you're crazy. Like, they would probably tell their kids, you know,
release the flies. And then the swarm goes. Hey,
get away from that guy. You know, he's weird.
Like, flies can smell. I don't know what the distance is, but they have a really keen sense of smell. And nothing is better to them than literally rotting meat.
Fletch, yeah.
And there it is. So much of it. It's everywhere.
They're going to call you, like, the fly guy. Yeah. You know that, right?
I don't give a shit what they call
me. Yeah, I know.
I mean, goddamn savior of the world. Yeah. That's what I'll
be. Stay away. There's that fly guy over there. But then once you do that and they see what you've done and like, they're all going to praise you. You know what I mean? They're going to be like, hey, you know, I was just joking about that fly guy stuff, right?
Your opinion is irrelevant to me. I'm going home.
They're going to be like, oh, that guy's mean. It's so funny. You know, though, that honestly, man, that is one of the most unique answers I have ever heard.
Would you believe me? I literally thought about it on the spot. I was like, maggots. It's perfect.
I mean, wow. Like, how many do you think you'd really have to breed? Like, you know, they'll probably wouldn't.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be like he released the flies and 2 weeks later we were saved.
No, but I think.
Let's say I'm just going to throw numbers out here because I'm completely ignorant on what it takes to actually breed flies. But let's say I figured
it out. I'm starting to wonder right now, how do you even breed flies?
I mean, just bring a mating pair together and make sure there's constantly food and moisture.
Well, I guess
and so. And have a big enough containment and make sure they don't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, this might happen naturally anyways.
Throw your dung over there in that pile for fly guy Will so he can breathe.
In all honesty, this might happen naturally anyways because, like, for example, back in medieval times, one of the really dirty ways of fighting a war would be getting dead bodies off the battlefield, getting them into catapults, and flinging them into the city.
Oh, I think I remember hearing about them, yeah.
Mostly because of diseases, but part of those diseases is the bugs that are drawn. And then those bugs start biting people, too. So, like, this is probably going to happen naturally anyways. Because for the flies, it's going to be the biggest buffet they've ever seen.
Right, I know.
They're going to breed unchecked.
Yeah.
But, like, in this other scenario, like, I don't know. Let's say you manage to breed, like, I don't know, 5,000 flies.
Yeah.
You know, and out of those 5,000 flies, half of them are female. And so there's 2,500 flies go out there into the dead bodies and start making eggs. Well, all those maggots are going to be born, I think, within days.
It'll just keep going in a cycle.
And then it will escalate until, there's nothing left.
Man.
And then we have a fly problem.
Yeah, I know. All right, we survived the zombie apocalypse. Like, oh no.
Oh my God. Zombie flies. Yeah,
oh my God. That would suck. But dude, could you imagine?
Halloween Fright Night Fight Night.
Welcome to Ringside with Will and Tom. Will, we have the next round of fights between our horror contestants here.
Indeed. I believe this is round two. So these are everyone who survived their first combat.
Yep. We have 12 left.
Okay. Do you want me to start randomly generating their numbers?
Let's get down to the fights.
All right. Our first contestant is number 8.
Michael Myers.
Versus number 10.
Oh, okay. Michael Myers versus Dracula.
Okay, Dracula wins.
Yeah, I mean, Well, okay, Michael Myers, I know before you always said, like, isn't it that he can't die,
right? That's the thing. He always comes back. But he, like, he is not so cognizant as to, like, figure out that, like, Dracula needs to be killed with sunlight and or a stake through the heart. And, like, yeah. Do the right things, you know what I mean? If anything, I feel like Dracula has mind control powers, so I think he turns Mike Myers to his side.
And nobody's ever really, like, thought, like, could Dracula drain Michael Myers?
Oh, yeah, there we go. He turns Mike Myers into his thrall. Bam.
Right? So, he would kind of just, drains, like... Mike,
what a wonderful pawn you would make. And then he totally drinks his blood, and now Mike Myers works for Dracula. Now, here's the question. Dracula wins this fight. Are him and Mike Myers now attached to each other? Are they like a combo duo together? Moving on to the next round.
No, but what I figure is that you know, do you remember on WWF when The Undertaker came out and he had Paul Bearer?
You're speaking to.
Oh, you never watched WWF?
No, I never did. But please tell me.
So when they come down, you know, to the ring, right? When they walk down, he had his manager. His name was Paul Bearer, which is the Paul Bearer. Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. And like he would just walk in front of the Undertaker holding an urn, you know, with supposedly the Undertaker's ashes.
Okay.
And he would just walk around going like, "Oh, it's the Undertaker." You know, okay. He was like the Undertaker's caretaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's well, what he was like, his hype man.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And that's what I figure Mike now Myers with Mike Myers.
Sure,
Michael
absolutely.
Myers, yeah, you know.
Like, okay, so Mike Myers does move on with Dracula. He doesn't partake in the fight, though.
No, he doesn't partake in the fight, but he moves on.
Just so everyone knows, Mike Myers is there. He's a vampire now.
Yeah, exactly.
Next.
And instead of, like, hyping him up because he doesn't talk,
yeah.
He just goes to the crowd and lifts his hands up like, like he's just like, get up for Dracula.
That's awesome. All right, are we ready for the next round?
Yes.
Contestant number 9.
Ooh, the Mummy Imhotep.
Versus contestant number 5.
Ooh, Imhotep versus Leatherface. Imhotep wins. That one's too simple.
Yeah, Leatherface comes at him with the chainsaw, and Imhotep just like sucks all the hydration out of his body or whatever that fuck he wants because he's a goddamn sorcerer.
He's gonna blast sand in his eyes. Leatherface won't be able to see. Yeah. And then Imhotep has his
cult?
His cult followers. So yes, he might be able to slice through some of them, but he's not going to be able. Leatherface won't be able to slice through everyone.
He won't get near Imhotep.
There's no way. Leatherface on that one, I see that like no contest.
Okay, Imhotep wins. All right, so next contestant is number 6,
the Headless Horseman
versus number 3. What?
The Headless Horseman versus the Graboid. Wait a minute here.
Okay. All right. So, I can get behind this. Headless Horseman's running down his New England road.
On his horse.
On his horse. Yeah, galloping. I said riding.
Oh, I think you said running down.
No, that'd be weird. He's running.
Yeah.
Gotta stay fit. Gotta stay small.
Gotta get my steps in.
No. He's on his dark horse. And then suddenly there's like a rumble. And the Graboid like literally pops up and takes the horse's arm. The horse loses this fight. Headless Horseman goes flying.
Is his horse though also like a hell horse or something?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure he has more of them. It's not a big deal.
I just always
wonder. So now Headless Horseman knows he's in danger, and the Graboid's circling.
And you know obviously more about the Graboid than I do because I've never watched the movie.
Yeah. So what questions do you have about the Graboid?
Well, my question is: does the Graboid have any type of intelligence that we know of?
It's not a very smart creature, no.
Okay, because I was going to say the only way that I can see the Graboid winning would be if it was smart enough to know to go for the Headless Horseman's head, which the witch has, and burrow through the ground and come up and snatch the head.
Okay, there's no way
he could do that. And so even if he comes up and swallows the Headless Horseman, the Headless Horseman's going to take his sword out and just cut out of him. I would see the Headless Horseman winning that, but
the thing is, like, I think the Graboid's got a super tough hide. Like, he would get chewed to pieces, is what I mean. Now, I don't think that means he dies, because again, he can be resummoned via the head. But like, we need there to be some sort of like final match.
Like, do you think swallowing him up is? Do you think that would work? Like you're saying, because again, I don't know that much. So, do you think the Graboid's power of swallowing the Headless Horseman up is more powerful than his sword, than his, you know, being able
his
to...
His sword? I think they're pretty equal. So, like, I think on this first encounter, I think the Graboid gets him.
Okay.
And then I think, well, he gets resummoned, and now he's coming for the Graboid. And I think at that point the Graboid can't win because I think the Headless Horseman is going to come in with actual strategy.
Yeah.
And like, no, like, okay, he's going to come up and get me. And when he does, you know, he can like float up or whatever the fuck he does.
But I don't think we can do a second chance.
Well, we did with Mike Myers and, you know, and Frankenstein. We said Frankenstein probably kills Mike Myers a bunch of times, but eventually Mike's going to get him.
Oh, yeah. We like relentless.
Yeah, it's the relentless.
Oh, yeah. Then I guess you're right, because the witch would resummon him, obviously.
Exactly, yeah.
There
the
Headless Horseman
didn't die.
Yeah, if that's true, so you're right. So it would be.
I think at some point the Graboid like comes up and the Headless Horseman is ready, and then he skewers him.
Yeah. He would be waiting
at
that point.
Yeah. Headless Horseman wins. Next.
Headless Horseman.
All right. Next up is number 12.
Oh. Kayako from The Grudge.
Oh, boy. And she is versus number 2.
These ones are always funny. Like, I'm surprised they got to the second round, but it's Kayako versus Jaws. Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. Because I'm pretty sure Kayako, the way she kills people is in the movie. I've seen both, but I remember the American version better. And in the American version, I'm pretty sure she breaks people's necks.
Yeah.
I don't think she can muscle that neck. I don't think she can snap Jaws' neck.
Yeah, that's true.
But what happens if Jaws eats her? Like, what happens? Like,
but isn't she also, since she's kind of like a ghost, she's incorporeal too, right?
I don't. So, she touches people. Like,
but doesn't she also turn into like some kind of cloudy
darkness? Yeah, she can do that, but she's not always that.
But I would think she would turn into that if Jaws, because the only thing Jaws can do is bite her.
Yeah.
So I feel like he would go to swallow her. Uh-huh. She would turn into that, rematerialize inside Jaws. But would she be strong enough
inside him?
But I mean, would she be strong enough to like burst out of him or something?
I don't know. We don't. She never uses like knives or anything like that. She just kind of snaps people's necks. And we never even see her do that part. I think there's like people with broken necks. Oh, actually, no. I think there's, she took off a dude's jaw in the American version. I remember Sarah Michelle Gellar runs into her boss and he's like, he can't talk. And then he walks out and you see his tongue just hanging.
Oh, yeah.
So she's strong. She can rip off jaws. Yeah. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I was also thinking, what if she like became that smoke stuff, whatever it was, went into Jaws's gills and then kind of rematerialized and like he would basically suffocate.
I mean, yeah, but she, okay, like I get what you're saying, but she never actually does that.
Yeah.
Like, she never goes incorporeal and then uses it to like phase people to death.
I know, right? That would be too easy.
That's creative, that would be cool, but we never see her do it. But I think I could get behind her turning into smoke. He swallows the smoke and then, you know, she just fucks him up from the inside. Because she could rip people's jaws straight off their bodies and like, pull people up into the air and break their neck. Like, she could probably do enough damage.
On the inside of Jaws.
Yeah, on the inside of Jaws, and there's nothing he can do. So I think Kayako wins.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, Jaws is out.
Wow. Sorry, Jaws.
How many contestants do we have left?
So that was 4, so we have 2 left.
Okay, so there's 2 matches left.
Yes, 2 matches
left. Okay, are you ready?
Hmm?
Number 4.
Slenderman.
Versus number 11.
Slenderman versus Samara from The Ring.
I think Samara's gonna win this. Just because I don't know if you physically can like assault Samara, but like no matter who or what you are, across species she does this. She can send her images into your brain and drive you crazy.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And I feel like Slenderman had a similar power, but not as powerful.
A drive like people crazy power?
But he invokes fear. When he's around you, fear. You get like this. Yeah.
But I don't think Samara could fear anything. Plus, yeah, and she's I don't
think
dead.
She would. Yeah, exactly. I don't think she would fear anything. So I don't think he would have any real effect except for his teleportation. You know what I mean? But doesn't
Samara can't teleport, actually.
Mm.
She comes out of TV screens and shit like that.
So as long as Slenderman isn't by his, you know, 50-inch flat screen TV or something.
But I mean, no, but she comes after people one way or another. She can also possess people. That happens in Ring 2. She possesses people. Not that that's important for Slenderman.
But I don't see Slenderman being able to contend with that.
Also. Yeah, I don't either. You know, have you seen The Ring, right? The first one? Mm-hmm. Do you remember the scene where, like, because I think the whole movie starts off and there's a funeral going on for a teenage girl.
Okay.
And, like, there's a point where the dad's talking to, I think, Naomi Watts. And there's like a scene where he remembers finding her body in the closet, and like her face is all like super like morphed and transformed.
Oh, it was like distorted.
It was like messed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not clear what Samara does to people, but that's the end result. Like Slender Man doesn't have a face. When she's done with him, he will.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. It's for him, it's not distorted. It's just now he has a face, and he's so distraught about that he dies.
Well, I just mean like she distorts his formless face so badly that it actually resembles a face.
Yeah, anyway, Samara wins. That is true. Yeah, Samara wins definitely.
All right, so what's the final match?
So the final match is Freddy Krueger
versus
Regan from The Exorcist.
This is going to be a good match.
I mean, this is a good main fight, main card.
Right yeah. Here. So this is Freddy versus a literal demon who can possess people.
Yeah,
that theoretically doesn't need to sleep because it is a demon.
Yeah, that's true.
And like, I don't know what Freddy could do to a demon's dreams.
I mean. Yeah, I feel like they would know each other somehow too. Like, because I feel like they're from the same. Like,
hey, Freddy, what's up?
Yeah, I know. Like,
okay, well, no, but they have to fight each other.
Well, okay, you are right about the demon.
Kill Reagan's body.
That's what I was thinking too. Because even in The Exorcist, there are times when she sleeps. That's where they have those little breaks of like. You know, with the priest and whoever, you know, oh, we need to get this and you know,
we need to do that. You're right. You're absolutely
so
right.
Then you're right. Then he can kill at least the Regan part.
Right.
And if he kills the Regan part, where does the demon go?
How did Regan get possessed again?
Oh, how?
I don't remember how. I don't remember how either. I don't think she even did anything wrong.
No, I don't think it was like that. It wasn't like she
played with a Ouija board or anything.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you know, in the movie, it's always like, if they just hadn't have done X, yeah. Y, or Z, like, the demon wouldn't have got in their house. You about to Google this?
Yeah, let's look it up real quick.
I'm very curious. Okay, she's possessed because she didn't do anything wrong, because she is innocent. That's why she got possessed. Like, the demon came for her because he knew it hurt people the most.
The most. Okay.
So that's not really a reason.
So basically, she was possessed just because the demon knew.
Have you ever seen The Exorcist of Emily Rose?
Yeah.
Okay, it's the same thing in that movie, actually.
Yeah, that's true. Because that
she was so devout. Anyways, I think if Freddy kills the body, then he defeats the demon. Exorcist girl.
Yeah.
I think the demon has to go and figure out a whole new scenario.
Yep. Yeah. He would have to go and find somebody else.
Exactly.
I feel like Freddy would win. Yeah.
Absolutely. Freddy wins.
Man, poor Regan.
I know.
Not only does she get possessed, but then she falls asleep finally. And in her dream.
If anything, she's probably saying thank you to Freddy.
Or maybe.
Like,
yeah.
Thank you. Release me. And he's like, sure thing, mm-hmm. bitch. And then cuts her fucking throat out.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, she falls asleep, right? The nightmare begins. You see Freddy at the very end as like a shadowy silhouette, right? And you hear his claws going on metal, right?
Yeah, sure.
And then she just walks towards him, not scared at all. Yeah. And then she just goes, please, I need you to do this for me. And he just goes like,
come to daddy, bitch.
And then gives her a hug and stabs her at the same
time.
There we
go. She didn't even put up a fight.
So Freddy wins that.
Everyone wins that one. I guess except for the demon.
So yeah. So tonight's winners are Dracula, the mummy Imhotep, the Headless Horseman, Kayako from The Grudge, Samara from The Ring, and Freddy Krueger.
Nice. I guess we'll find out what happens in the semifinals and finale next time.
Halloween Fright Night Fight Night.
And that is all we have for you tonight. We will continue to bring you up-to-date coverage as new imaginings develop. Please don't forget, you could join our Patreon at patreon.com/dudecouldyouimagine. Another way to support our podcast is by leaving an Apple Podcast review. You can subscribe to us on Instagram at @dude_couldyouimagine, on Twitter at @DCYimagine, and on our YouTube channel where you can leave a like and a comment. If you would like to contact us with what you are imagining, you can email us at dudecouldyouimagine@gmail.com. This has been Fritz Frivolous, and from all of us here at Dude Could You Imagine, keep on imagining.
Dude, that was actually funny, man. I like that one, dude.